Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe, and I'm live as I as I always am, and I am broadcasting to you from the Gene Bosch Studio in the magical Isle of Vashon. Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band, and broadcasting and streaming live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. For reasons which probably will be made clear by some station announcement, I may be the first live broadcasting that we have had this morning. And one of the reasons is that my friend, colleague, Captain Truman O'Brien, he of the retired Alaska Airlines captaincy, is having some pretty serious testing done today. We've reported here on before in the binnacle list entry that he has been having some mobility challenges, and so those are being checked out today. Greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world. And I know that some of you are traveling and are not in your regular home ports, for example, Stockholm, the capital of the Kingdom of Sweden. And greetings also to the other end of the world, all the way out to Singapore. All of the ships and aircraft in between, and all of the stations that are out rescuing people in about their father's business. So during the week, during this last week, I went to a conference in San Francisco. And while I was at this conference, it was sponsored by the Nautical Institute, which is homeported in London, not very far from the International Maritime Organization headquarters, which are also in London, near Blackfriars Bridge. And the theme of the conference was to get together a number of people who had some experience and hopefully some influence to bring back the American Merchant Marine. I do not hold, nor have I ever held, a Merchant Mariner's license, but I've been involved with the Merchant Marine, of course, for my entire working life. So when the Nautical Institute extended the invitation to come, I made my arrangements, and in particular, one of the events was to go to sea in a World War II Liberty ship. There are only two Liberty ships still operating today out of the over 2,000 that were built during World War II. The Jeremiah O'Brien is the one that is homeported in San Francisco, Pier 45, down on Fisherman's Wharf. And the other one is the John Brown in Baltimore. So never loath I to take the opportunity to go to sea, even in some other captain's ship. I signed up for that, and I have to tell you that it was just a glorious day. We got underway on Saturday morning and went out under the Golden Gate Bridge. And went out to on the other side of the San Francisco Bar and had a ceremony in which we remembered all of those people who had crossed their own bar in the last year. Actually, longer than that, because this was the first time that they've been able to get Jeremiah O'Brien underway for a couple of years because of the virus. And so we had a ceremony which consisted of dropping some leis into the water and appropriate remarks, and the playing by a band. There was a wonderful live band that was part of this whole event, and the live band then played the sailor's hymn, "Eternal Father, Strong to Save." I don't think that there is a single mariner, regardless of their particular religious persuasion, that is not touched and moved by both the sound, the music, and the words that go with Eternal Father, Strong to Save. So that was played. Then we came back under the Golden Gate and proceeded to go all the way around underneath the Bay Bridge, down to the south end of San Francisco Bay, through the anchorages, lots of ships waiting to get alongside and unload, and then came back on the other side of Treasure Island. For those of you who are San Francisco people, you know that there is an approach bridge that takes from the Oakland side to Treasure Island and to Yerba Buena Island, YBI. And I had not seen, it had been a while since I'd been, many years, in fact, since I'd been to San Francisco, I had not seen this new approach bridge. So we went right under that. It's a little suspension bridge. And we went right under that and around the far side of Treasure Island and then back to Pier 45. It was just a glorious day, and my only longing was that I kept sending subliminal signals to the bridge saying that if they wanted to dispense with the services of the two Foss Brothers tugs that pulled Jeremiah away from the pier and were waiting to push us back alongside, that I would be happy to come up to the bridge and put her alongside without the services, the expensive services of those two tugs. Alas, no such request came to me, and so therefore I was left to be one of the last ones ashore when it finally came time to end the day. It was just a glorious day. As for the meeting itself, it is my hope and my wish, but certainly beyond my command, that some of the things that we discussed, some of the recommendations that we made, would find their way to the right places so that some improvements can be made. There was a lot of discussion about what's been going on in the world so far as the supply chain is concerned. And one of the big items of discussion is how little of the world's commercial traffic, how little of the world's commerce is carried in ships under the U.S. flag, and how much of it is carried in flags of what we call flags of convenience, for example, Panama, Liberia, and the Marshall Islands. So it remains to be seen what comes out of that. In the meantime, I had some wonderful conversations with some people in who came from the Institute in London, and we had just a great time. Many of the people who came to this were themselves captains, and so we had it was just a great and very refreshing, and I'm just delighted to be able to get back into the business of going to conferences. I hope that what I have to say, my pontifications, they certainly are listened to respectfully, and I hope that they will find some favor with the people who are actually going to be making some more decisions. In my post this morning, which I picked up, all of you will recall that not only am I a graduate of the University of Cambridge and the Scott Polar Research Institute, but also that I manage the construction of the Shackleton Memorial Library at the Scott Polar Research Institute when Mary R. and I were living in Cambridge. In 2020 was the 100th birthday of the Institute, and, of course, the celebrations which were going to be connected with that, all of them had to be postponed. In my post this morning comes a letter from the director. Dear Captain Joe, we are delighted to be able to invite you to, get this one, purchase tickets for our long overdue centenary gala dinner. So, the centenary gala dinner, now 2 years later, is going to be on Saturday, 5 November 2022, of course, in Cambridge. And I am already looking at my calendar to see if there is in some way that I can go to that event. I really, as most of you know, The Cambridge University is my intellectual home, and if at all possible, I will try to figure out how I can work, how I can get to Cambridge for that particular event. The guest of honor is His Serene Highness, the Prince of Monaco. And Monaco, of course, is the home of one of the homes of the World Oceanographic Community. So it will be a wonderful event, and I am going to do everything that I can to be a part of that and to go to it. There have been a number of things happening with the United States Navy, and I take no pleasure when it comes time to discuss these. But they are to me, and I've communicated to you many times, my concern that there is a systemic problem in the Navy. And if I had detected any such systemic problems in my own service, in the Coast Guard, I would have reported them just as completely and just as honestly. The most recent one to come to my hand was a report in this morning's G Captain. G Captain is, by the way, G Captain, I think it's gcaptain.com, is a source of maritime information and intelligence, which I check every day for anything new that's going on in the maritime world. And this particular one was a follow-up on the elision. An elision, of course, is the contact between a moving object, such as a ship, and a fixed object, and in this particular case, it was that seamount that the USS Connecticut submerged attack submarine, nuclear attack submarine, contacted with a what is reported to be an uncharted seamount in the South China Sea when she was submerged. It must have been a real shock when they're steaming along, thinking that they were at the right depth, in the right place, and they slam right into this seamount. Seamounts don't move, and submarines do. This is not an immovable object. And so the investigative report has been completed. I have not had a chance to read it. My source for that is the Naval Institute. There is a complete printing. The report itself is very heavily redacted, and I suspect that part of the redaction has to do with the severity of the navigational error, because navigational error there had to have been. So I bring this one up today because this is the most recent, but we have talked about before the USS Fitzgerald collision, the USS McCain collision, both of which cost us the lives of young sailors. We have talked about the terrible fire in USS Bonhomme Richard, Bonnie Dick. And then all of these things are emblematic to me of a loss of contact with the realities of seagoing, the basics of seagoing, good seamanship, awareness of what's going on around you, whether you are in zero visibility and you are on a complete radar and GPS plot, or whether you have beautiful weather in the daytime and it's clear and you can see everything around you. So, and in fact, I don't know whether more than half, but certainly many, many accidents at sea happen in beautiful, clear weather. And they result because the bridge watch and the lookouts were not carrying out their duties. So I am hopeful that all of these things, these investigations, what keeps getting generated out of these investigations seem to be new organizations and new task groups. But there doesn't seem yet to be much in the way of acknowledgement and acceptance on the part of top Navy leadership that we have a serious problem and we need to return to basics. We had some discussions about this at the meetings in San Francisco as well. And the people with whom I had these particular discussions, almost all of them were captains themselves. So that meant that they had considerable experience and they had considerable training as well. And I brought up the point that the sea is exactly the same now as it has been since the beginning of whatever creation story you believe. However the world started, when the oceans were formed, the seas have been exactly the same in terms of the hazards and risks that those of us who have chosen to go to sea have endured. I have been in more than one Pacific winter typhoon, more than one Atlantic hurricane, and I can assure you, should you not have ever been in those weather conditions yourself, that those are experiences that you want to do the best you can to keep your ship alive and to get out of them just as quickly as possible. This is quite different from whether or not a crew, as happened in one of the destroyer collisions, was messing around with the steering arrangements, and that contributed to the accident. It's quite different from that than surviving in a heavy weather situation. I keep getting back to this because this is also emblematic to me of the things that we deal with in life. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, in my personal life, in my professional life. I've made a lot of mistakes. And I've tried to learn from each one of those, and I have to confess that at least in some situations, I must not have learned too well because I've repeated a couple, especially in my personal life. So all of those things being true, we should be learning from them. And in particular, is it true of the organizations which we have put together over the centuries and have empowered to keep our land safe? And that includes, in my particular world, the United States Navy, the United States Coast Guard, and all of the other armed forces, but in particular those two, because I remain today a part of both of them. When I see and hear and read about and then do my own personal analysis of accidents at sea, I am always, there's just a little bit of shivering of my timbers of shame that those things happen. We're never going to be able to eliminate them, but if we organize ourselves in such a way that we do better than what we're doing now, we desperately need that, and in particular in the U.S. Navy. So here are a couple things for island people. First of all, I am pleased to report that the emergency heads, all of the emergency heads which have been in place before, are back in commission. Those include the ones with Doug down at the Ace Service Center, the at the Vashon Library, at Vashon Adventures, and the lovely people that own and run Vashon Adventures, which is right across from Snapdragon, and a new entry. There are portable toilets in the car park at Ober Park, which is where the Vashon Park District is. So should you find yourself, as has happened to your captain occasionally, should you find yourself in the need of a head, possibly even unexpectedly, then there are four places right in the middle of Vashon that you can go to. You will be welcomed. You will not be asked to buy anything. You will not be questioned. All you have to do is walk in, say, I need to use one of the emergency heads, that about which Captain Joe pontificates from the captain's chair, And whoever is running that business will be happy to show you the door to the head, that is. The one of the good things that is happening here on the island, that we do it every year, and again, this is the first year that we've been able to do it in person, is the garden tour. Used to be done by an organization called Vashon Allied Arts. Allied Arts changed its name to the Vashon Center for the Arts, and they sponsor the garden tour every year. It is on the 4th and 5th of June this year. And so the you can type in Vashon Center for the Arts and look at the calendar there, and it will have the location of the gardens for this year. There also should be, I have not seen one yet, but there should be a brochure in various places on the island that have the gardens. It will have a little map as to how to get to them. Every year, this is a spectacular thing. And it was one of Mary R.'s particular joys to go to the gardens. And I bring her up now because this last week was her birthday. And so we had kind of a tough day to get together that day. So the garden tour coming up, the heads, we've talked about that. Memorial Day, of course, is on Monday, the 30th of May. And the so that will be a federal holiday. Colors will be half-staffed all over the country from, I believe it is, sunrise until noon. And I urge that everyone who is able go to one of the ceremonies. I'll be going to the one at our cemetery here on the island, the same place where Mary R. is buried. And I will be going for the ceremonies that we have for Memorial Day at our beautiful island cemetery. The coming to a couple of other things. I saw an interesting film clip about the Coast Guard cutter Healy. Healy, of course, is the icebreaker that for whom I am her sea daddy. And 2 years ago, she had a fire in one of her main propulsion motors. She's an electric drive ship, diesel electric drive ship. And the way her propulsion is set up is that she has these enormous diesel engines, prime movers, and these engines turn generators. The generators generate electricity, and the electricity then goes to the main motors, and the propellers are connected directly to the main motors. So she had a fire in one of the in one of those main motors. At the meeting in San Francisco, I was talking to a senior officer from the Navy League, which is a support group for the Navy, the Marine Corps, and for the Coast Guard, and for the Merchant Marine. And we were talking about the situation, the icebreaking situation in the Coast Guard right now, and the fact that we have not yet even cut steel on the first of the new ones. So the subject of Healy came up, and this gentleman said, Healy is, she is a beautiful ship, and she's very successful. And I puffed up a little bit on that, and I was about ready to claim total and complete credit for her success when he said, but it's a shame that she had that fire. I don't deflate very easily, and I certainly didn't give any visible evidence of deflating here. But I did spring butt up and immediately say, I was certain that that was a maintenance issue and not a design issue. Big electric motors have to be kept clean. I've not read the report as to why, what was the cause of the fire. I confess delinquency on my part on that. But in any case, I am maintaining that that was a maintenance thing rather than a design flaw. But the film clip that I saw, in order to, the decision was taken to change out the entire motor rather than try to rebuild it on site. And so they cut an enormous hole in the side of Healey, and then the piece of steel that was connected to the foundation plates, the piece of steel on the side of the ship that was connected to the foundation plates that hold up that motor, that whole thing was slid out, sort of like a tray in your refrigerator. And then the old motor was lifted off. The new motor was dropped in, and then this whole tray was shoved back in. And there was a time-lapse photograph. Once again, I have to use the term YouTube, and that's where it was. It was on a YouTube. You can find it by going on to, I believe the title was something like Healey Main Motor Changeout or something like that. You can call it up on YouTube and see how this was done. An incredible piece of shipyard work, and it validates the way that the ship was designed. I'm not so sure that I would have made the same decision to change the motor out rather than to try to rebuild it in place, but then I was not her captain at the time, and I was not the one that would be making that decision. One of the things that the Coast Guard's been very busy with lately is returning migrants to Haiti and to the Dominican Republic. These people who are trying to leave, in particular Haiti, do it in incredibly unseaworthy boats. We had a case just a couple of weeks ago where a number of people drowned. The boat rolled over. Many of the people drowned, including, I believe, some children, and the rest of them were rescued. But this whole business of repatriating these people to their homeland is becoming a much more busy activity on the part of the Coast Guard. And it was when I was still a serving officer, I was involved in that, as well as a number of other Coast Guard missions. And we've come once again and far too quickly to the end of our time together. So as always, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again right here at the captain's chair. I remain, as always, on station and watching properly. I have a great program lined up for you next week with another icebreaker captain. We're going to talk about, in particular, the Arctic. And with that, it is my wish and my desire and my command that if you are responsible for other people, that you take good care of them, watch their six, and we will meet right here at the captain's chair next week, a week from today. Thank you. Thank you.